Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, and that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
By the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. And despite all of that and all of the fallout from that, he has not blinked. He has not wavered. He has not taken one single step in a backwards direction. You all know who I'm talking about. You've come out here tonight to greet him, to show support for him, to demonstrate your love for Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Dr. Khalid.
All right.
Thank you.
lives with their lives.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
Turn it up.
All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We forever give thanks and praise to Almighty God for coming, as it was written in the sacred scriptures, that he would come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we can find no other people fitting the description of the lost brother, the lost sister, or the lost sheep, except we, the 50 million or more, mentally and spiritually dead, black men and black women here in the hells of North America. And so we thank him for coming in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and for raising up his messenger and his Messiah to the black man and black woman here in the hells of North America and throughout the world. I speak of none other than the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And in the name of the man who is my spiritual father, who is my teacher, and who has been my mentor, and who is responsible largely for my spiritual rites of passage, I speak of none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In their name, in their names, I greet you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Hotep. Shalom. Shia Lafiani. And black laws for all black people. Free the land. And for others, what's up? It's indeed my honor to be black again at this great forum of the United African Movement, spearheaded by the dynamic and divine leadership of one who is tireless and relentless in our midst, and one who is well acquainted with controversy, well acquainted with adversity, well acquainted with injustice, well acquainted with the oppression and the attempted repression of the enemy, but one who will not bow down and will not be bought, Attorney Alton Maddox. My subject this evening, I will cover many topics under this subject, but with us standing on the threshold of the national election. It was 30 years ago that Minister Malcolm X, the great and dynamic national spokesman for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in his message to the grassroots, he spoke to the grassroots of our people. And tonight I want to speak to the grassroots, to those who are in the dirt, those who are in the muck and the mire and the mud of the white man's world. 30 years ago, Malcolm said it was a case of the chickens coming home to roost. And tonight I want to tell you that 30 years later, it's a case of the chickens coming home to roost. Malcolm's subject 30 years ago on the threshold of a national election was the ballot or the bullet. And my subject 30 years later on the threshold of a national election is the bullet or the bullet? That's my subject here tonight. The bullet or the bullet? You don't have no other choice. Some of you are waiting around. You were glued to the television screen watching these two no good crackers debate just a few nights ago. And you are trying to make up your mind which peck of wood you're going to vote for. This is the year of the bullet or the bullet. You don't have no choice. One cracker named Bill Clinton, nicknamed Slick Willie. Would you buy a used car from a cracker named Slick Willie? An adulterer. Huh? Doesn't even live up to the standards of his own nation. A draft dodger. A dope head. A cracker who gets high and then wants to fool you and hoodwink you and tell you, I didn't inhale. A dope head. An adulterer. And one who doesn't even follow the standards of his own people, a draft dodger, Slick Willie, lied to you 4 years ago, still lying to you 4 years later. And another cracker, an old wrinkled, crippled, crazy cracker. Cracker with a funny hand, shaking people's hand with his left hand. And you tell me I'm voting for this cracker, some of you for president, and the damn peckerwood can't even stay on the stage. The cracker fell off the goddamn stage. fell out in the audience. Can you imagine you're supposed to get off of Air Force One and salute the Marine Corps and salute the honor guard when you step off the plane? Now, what will this cracker do with this funny hand? What is he going to do? Get off the plane and try to throw up a salute with that funny hand? Some of you say, why be so personal? Why not attack the man's policy? Why not attack the platform that the man stands on? Don't deal with the man's personal life. Don't deal with him. Deal with this policy. Well, I'm a military scientist. And in military science and military strategy, you don't just attack the tank. You attack the fueling depot that the tank depends on. You don't just attack the train. You attack the track that the train runs on. You don't just try to deal with the cracker once the plane, the bomber plane is in the air. You attack that which is responsible for giving the plane what is necessary in its power and energy to lift up off the ground. And so I attack the cracker too and his policy. You talking about civil rights. Ain't no damn civil rights. The cracker ain't never been civil and he ain't never been right. You talking about, well, what about human rights? The cracker ain't human and he ain't never been right. It's the year of the bullet or the bullet. You either deal or die. You either fight back or get destroyed. You either get on the right side or it's genocide. It's the year of the bullet or the bullet. You've been voting for crackers ever since they allowed you to vote. And tonight we want to cover some of the history here. The history teaches us that from 1870 to 1901, blacks served in the various states as congressmen and sat in every Congress from the 41st to the 56th, with one exception. Says they were brilliant men. They were great orators. In fact, during the period of Reconstruction, we were mayors, we were sheriffs, we were senators, we were congressmen, and even B.K. Bruce was in the Treasury Department, and his signature was on all paper money in America. No matter how racist a cracker was, a big pot belly, beer belly, snuff dipping, tobacco chewing, straw chewing, overall wearing peck of wood, no matter how much he hated niggers, he had to handle currency and money that had the signature of a black man in the Treasury Department on it. What is my point? During Reconstruction, it looked like a period of political prosperity. It looked like we were going to make it. As the historians say, we had good jobs working for ourselves. Many of us had good farmland. We were making what was called good money, and we were in high positions. But when the white man decided that he was through with niggas being in political office, then no matter how many elected positions we had, no matter how much money we had, no matter how much land we had, no matter what we had, the white man stood in the door of Congress. And they were armed in the door of Congress. And they said, no more nigger senators coming through these doors. They went to the floor of the Senate and the Congress and stood in the door armed to make sure that we didn't enter those what they call portals of the government of the United States of America. They went to the sheriff's office. Crackers stood armed, shotguns, pistols, big beer belly peckerwoods, standing outside. And the black sheriff showed up at the sheriff's office. He was elected by the people. But when the black sheriff showed up at the sheriff's office, crackers armed and cocked their guns on him. And all you could hear was the staccato of the cocking of their weapons on him, saying, nigga, you're not the sheriff no more. We got a new sheriff in town. Big Bubba here. Big Bubba's the sheriff, not nigga. He said, but I was duly elected by the people. They said, nigga, you better get on with this, nigga. Or Big Bubba here gonna rescue, nigga. You ain't the sheriff here no more, nigga. We taking the law back into our own hands, nigga. It looked like a period of political prosperity. Civil Rights Act, Voter Rights Act, Johnson sitting down penning the Civil Rights Act of 1964. If the Civil Rights Act was worth what was written on the paper, then Martin Luther King and those who would come after him would not have to fight so hard if it had meant anything. If the Voting Rights Bill had meant anything during Reconstruction, then Fannie Lou Hamer and others wouldn't have had to fight so hard coming behind the Voting Rights Bill. What am I saying here tonight? I'm taking an unpopular position, which is not new for me. I'm saying that separation is the best and only solution. I'm saying, as a reminder to you, that we must have a nation of our own. Because every time we vote together in a solid block, I know what Malcolm said to you 30 years ago. And all the great that Malcolm did, Malcolm was feeling. Malcolm was studying and searching and digging and researching and finding himself. And so Malcolm said, in such matters, vote in a solid block. He talked about the Democrat and the Dixiecrat. He talked about, stop talking about the South, he said. Anytime you're south of the Canadian border, Malcolm said, you're in the South. Malcolm said, it's no democracy, nothing but disguised hypocrisy. No American dream, nothing but an American nightmare. The Supreme Court has passed down new rulings now in various states across the country, striking down what is called majority-minority voting districts. Striking down majority-minority voting districts. What does that mean? It means a district that has a great population of black people who have gone out and registered to vote and who believe that they have real power because they've registered to vote. Let me stop for a minute. I am proud to say that I am not registered to vote. I have never voted. And when a strong black candidate comes along, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight, a black candidate who is not afraid of the white man, a black candidate who comes in the mold of Adam Clayton Powell Jr., a black candidate who has sat at the feet of Adam Clayton Powell Jr., if a bold black candidate comes along, then the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says such candidates should have the total backing of the black nation, that all of us should get behind such a candidate as that. But to get behind some glorified shower curtains and pull a lever for one cracker over another cracker, another Pinocchio-eared cracker named Perot. Here's a cracker that has lied so much his nose won't grow, his damn ears grow. Who are the candidates? Satan, the devil, Lucifer, and with Buchanan running, Buchanan, that's who he is, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, and Beelzebub. And either one you vote for, you're going to still end up catching hell. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad never told us to vote for a white man. He said we should find the right qualifications in a black candidate. One again who is not afraid of the white man and who will stand up for reparations and who will stand up for the freedom and independence of our people and will not back down from the white man. Got Negroes in this town talking about backing the white man over a black man. A black man who anytime you're in trouble, sometimes he's there before the police get there. Sometimes there before the ambulance gets there. But you got a Negro in this town named Butts. You should know you can't trust a nigga named Butts. How you gonna trust a nigga named Butts? That's our problem now. We've been sitting on our butts too long. If my name was Butts, I would go out tonight and change my name overnight. How you gonna get respect telling people that your name is Butts? And then you take a behind position every time an issue comes up. Negro ran out and attacked the rappers. Let me put the bullet on hold for a moment. Went out and attacked the rappers. He didn't know Tupac Shakur. You don't know Snoop Doggy Dogg. You don't know Biggie Smalls. You don't know Sean Puffy Combs. You don't know them Butts. While you sitting on your butt, afraid to come into the community and deal with the grassroots of your people, a whole generation has come up around you. Let's talk about the rappers for a minute. Can we talk about the rappers for a moment? Let's talk about Tupac Shakur for a moment. Tupac Shakur is a child of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, born out of the spirit of the revolution of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, fire in his bones. Huh? Boldness and rebellion in his blood. Born from his beautiful, bold Black Panther mama, Afeni, sitting in the jail cell, a revolutionary woman carrying the fruit of life, mocking the child in her womb, mocking the child with rebellion, mocking the child with insurrection, mocking the child with a spirit to not go along with what's been going on. When you got a generation like that, you've got to work with them. You've got to mold them and shape them and fashion them. They represent the best generation we've ever produced. They're mad. They're angry. White man say, "Wear your cap, turn this way." They turn theirs around. He say he wearing his pants up, they wear theirs down. Whatever he says do, they do the opposite. Rebellious. Sick and tired of what's been going on in the hells of North America. And so they rap lyrics that speak to the pain and the suffering and the low-down life of the Black man and woman. They speak to our condition at the grassroots level. In the muck, in the mire, and in the mud. Not to just be attacked. If you sit and if you stand in the pulpit that Adam Clayton Powell Jr. stood in. Adam Clayton Powell characterized himself in his words as the baddest nigger in Congress. The baddest nigger in Congress. That's what he said. He said, keep the faith, baby. Don't panic. Tupac said the same thing. Keep your head up. Keep your head up. But for butts and a few other butt-licking, boot-licking, buck-dancing niggas, somebody has to call these niggas out. But some of you are so connected to them, or you want something from them, or you want favor from them, or you want to be recognized by them. If you don't stand up for the liberation of our people, then to hell with any nigga. I don't care who he is or where he is, to hell with him if he won't stand up for the liberation of our people. If we touch the hearts and minds of the rappers, they could create a revolution overnight. Overnight. Literally. Overnight. But to attack them and put them down, talking about the language that they use, when you're acting like what they're talking about. But to the youth who are under the sound of my voice, you too have a responsibility. You do have a responsibility to wake up, clean up, and stand up. And give liberation lyrics to our people that will uplift them and not degrade them and put them down. Because if we follow the same filth of the white man's world, then our world will go down under the weight of filth and corruption, the same way the white man's world is going down. And so to our young brothers and sisters, don't try to pattern your life. You're criticizing the butts and the other toms. But at the same time, you're trying to be like the Italian gangsters. You gangster rap. You dress like Al Capone. You dress like some other cracker, some Jew gangster, some Italian gangster. You're not a gangster. You are the very people of God. Trying to look like some damn criminal from Italy. Some mafioso. Some Italiano boy. Look like fools on TV. Dressed up in all of this mess. You diss black designers. You don't want to wear the clothes from your black designers. You wearing Tommy Hill nigga. You wearing polo. Because you've been so damn poor and you've been living so damn low until you don't want to do nothing to pick yourself up and do something for yourself and give proper direction and guidance to the masses of your people who yearn to breathe free. This is the year of the bullet or the bullet. You ain't got a whole lot of more years to keep going over and over, round and round with this same thing, trying to decide on which peck of wood is going to be the lesser of two evils. I talked to a Muslim brother today from the Nation of Islam who was telling me that he was going to vote for Clinton. He said Clinton was the lesser of the two evils. Said he voted for Cuomo because he was the lesser of two evils of Pataki. I said, brother, we ain't got to vote for either one of them. What happened to the days of freedom and independence? What about a nation of our own? What about the call of black nationalism? What about the spirit when we were pushing to build for ourselves? You don't even dream like that anymore. Muslim talking about voting for some cracker. You gonna put some agenda before some cracker and decide which one is gonna do the most for black people. Come on. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad said on this subject, and it should be guidance for us. He said, put the Muslim program before Congress. It is difficult for me. It is what? It's what? It is difficult for me to advise my followers on taking part in the corrupt politics of our enemies, who are in complete control of the political affairs. Who are in complete control of the political affairs. Did he say they were partially in control? He said they were in complete control. That's why when you say we're going to vote in a solid block and they see you have some black voting power, then from the highest court in the white land, the Supreme Court, as I mentioned earlier, they send down a law or a decree that says we got to bust up this solid block voting. Can't send your own candidate who will represent your own interests and who will speak to your own needs and work for you. They bust up those districts. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said a white man is in complete control of the political affairs. There are 100 senators in America. Is that right? How many of them do we have? One, and she's questionable. Carol Moseley Braun, she's one of the Negroes that voted against me in the Senate. And a whole bunch of Negroes in the Congress. That Maxine Waters stood up tall and strong. I saw her at a black festival in California, and she ran to me and hugged me. She said, you're getting on up there now when you got them talking about you all up in Congress and everywhere. She said, you didn't think I was going to vote against you, did you? She didn't vote against me. I listened to that black woman dealing with them crackers on television last night about the CIA dumping this dope in the black community. Maxine Waters stood up toe-to-toe with them crackers. In fact, after a moment, she put the House of Representatives stuff to the side. She said, "You lying." Just told the cracker straight up. She didn't say, "I want to tell the gentleman from Illinois, the gentleman from Maryland, that he's prevaricating." She said, "You lying." Straight up. Said it more than once. I said, "Now this sister's all right. She represents South Central. You need a representative like Maxine Waters who will go and face these crackers and deal with these crackers." I heard Reverend Sharpton is running for mayor. How in the hell could you vote for a cracker if Reverend Sharpton is running for mayor? You're out of your goddamn mind. You had another Negro right here in Brooklyn, supposed to be a black nationalist, Sonny Carson. Oh, see, you Negroes scared. The ones who said that. Got out on the radio, said he's going to Reverend Sharpton's house if he runs. Like he gonna protest in the man's yard. And he didn't want Reverend Sharpton to run for mayor. What kind of Negro is that? He said, "Well, we got some problems with Reverend Sharpton." Nigga, you ain't got no problems with Giuliani? You see, I ain't connected to none of you. I want to be connected to all of you. But my stand is a principled stand. If you stand firm and right, I'm with you. If you were against Sharpton running for mayor, if you have something against Sharpton running for mayor, then you should have just kept your damn mouth shut and stayed on the sidelines some damn way. Now, if he was running against some black candidates, and you felt that the black candidates were better candidates, one of them was better than Sharpton, Reverend Sharpton, I can understand that. But as far as I know, the field is full of crackers. And public enemy number one is Giuliani. Or put niggas behind bars in the electric chair, in the gas chamber, lethal injection, state prosecutor Peckerwood. Giuliani, you're not for Sharpton. Keep your damn mouth shut. White folks look at you like a damn fool. They laugh at you. They think that something is wrong with you. If you're not for the only black candidate that's running, just be quiet, sissy. Vainglorious. Put the Muslim program of reparations and separation before Congress. He says there are many black men and women who make splendid politicians. They could accomplish considerable good if they, like the white politician and his people, were given proper and equal recognition and justice for themselves and their people. If our politicians are to serve us, they must have no fear of the white man. When they plead our case in the white courts before white judges, the strongest politician of our kind at that time, or the person who comes nearest, as far as I know, to giving us political justice in the white courts, if he had our complete backing, is Congressman Adam Clayton Powell, Jr. This is a message to the black man by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Though he is not a Muslim politician is what you need. Let's stop for a moment. It's got to be the right Muslim politician. You don't want no Muslim politician that's going to get in there buck dancing, shuffling and scratching. They got Muslim politicians all over America today. Shuffling and scratching and bootlicking and buck dancing. Thank you, baby. With the white man. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad meant a real Muslim. He meant a righteous Muslim. It's a shame we have to qualify Muslim. Muslim is supposed to mean all of that anyway. But this devil got a lot of power. But Congressman Powell is not afraid and would not be easily bribed, for he is not hungry. There are two other good politicians, but I will not mention them by name at this time. If they could shed their fear, Honorable Elijah Muhammad said they were scared, whoever they were, they would make excellent political leaders to guard our interests. We must give good black politicians the total backing of our population. Did he say good white politicians? Why can't you trust a so-called good white politician? You see, there are no good white folks and bad white folks. It's just two kinds of white folks. Bad white folks and worse white folks. That's the only two kinds of white folks you can find anywhere. He said, we must give good black politicians the total backing of our population. Your program, the one I've given you, which is carried in the first part of this chapter, should be put before Congress. The Civil Rights Bill and integration will not stand and can never bring independence to you and your people, no matter who is president. Black or white, the Civil Rights Bill and integration, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, could never bring us freedom and independence. Don't make no difference who the candidate is, again, black nor white. It could never bring us freedom and independence. So today we have to look for good black candidates. I've never voted. But if the right candidate comes along, I'll swing my support behind that candidate. Even though I don't believe in the political process of the white man at all. I don't care whether you like me for that or not. The politics of the white man is insipid. The politics of the white man is rotten to the core. The politics of the white man could never solve our problem. It's like a poison white cake. You can put black chocolate icing on top of the poison white cake, but it's still poisoned down to the smallest morsel, and it was baked in the oven of the White House for white folks, in a government of white people, by white people, and for white people. White man never intended for his nigga to be no political power over him. Every time you position yourself, he will change the rules on you. Every time you look like you're maneuvering in place. We got affirmative action, you say. We got food stamps, you say. We got entitlements, you say. Some of you turned into big niggas smoking big cigars because your big nigga company made you walk around over the rest of your people. Looking down at them, condescending. Because you had Section 8 set aside. Then they put a nigga up on the Supreme Court to vote with the white folk. Nigga named Clarence Thomas. You know that Negro. Married to that big old dinosaur looking white woman. Go home to that white woman and look like Jurassic Park. Nigga got to get up in a stepladder just to get some sugar from that big pack of wood. Why do you do that? Marry the biggest pack of wood you can find. That's a big old white woman. Clarence Thomas have to hug that white woman on one side and then run around and hug on the other side. She probably whips Clarence at home. Clarence, you come in here, Clarence. Put him on the Supreme Court. Made him a Supreme Court nigga. Look at it. Now whites are blaming us for the condition of America. All of this happened in Reconstruction. Mel Reynolds is gone. They moved on Arrington down in Alabama. Judge Haste. Perrin Mitchell. Huh? Marion Barry. He said, they set me up. He said, the bee set me up. They say, Mr. Mayor, would you place both hands on the wall, Mr. Mayor? You're under arrest, Mr. Mayor. You have a right to remain silent. And anything that you say, Mr. Mayor, can be held against you. She set me up. They accuse Mel Reynolds in District 2 in Illinois of having sex, a form of statutory rape. Is that right, counsel? With a young girl who says that they really only had phone sex. Hey, I don't know what the age is on phone sex now. I mean, that's out of the statutory rape category. That's out of the condom category. That's out of AIDS category. That's out of HIV category. Phone sex. I mean, that's some serious stuff. But in order to get Mel Reynolds, they arrested the young girl to force her to testify against him. They entrapped him, put her on the telephone, and made her talk sweet talk to him on the phone and talk about bringing somebody else for him to get with on the phone with the devil listening. Huh? The devil was listening. The white man is the devil. In case you forgot, you haven't heard anybody say it in a long time. You haven't heard nobody say it in a long time. The white man is the devil. I say it every day. I say it every day like a religious catechism, so that I can remember to remember. Just so I won't forget, I say it like a mantra. I say it when I'm brushing my teeth and gargling my mouth all the while out as a devil. Early in the morning, I say it as a part of my meditation. I open up my prayers. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed devil, the white man. Damn it, it was the devil that killed Brother Anthony Baez. God damn it, it was the devil that shot our brother down on the streets of Brooklyn, shot him 24 times. It was devils who killed Brother Yusuf Hawkins. It was devils who were responsible for Eleanor Bumpus. It's devils who killed Jerry Lee Amy and Eula May Love. It was devils who brought you here on the slave ships to the hells of North America. You better remind yourself every day. They moved on Mel Reynolds. They moved on all of them. Look what they did in Clinton's Congress. They moved on all of Clinton's people. Did you know that? Clinton had five so-called minority appointees.
We ain't no minority. We outnumber this speck of wood 12 to 1 on the face of the planet Earth. But he had 12 so-called minority appointments. The Clinton administration had these five. Michael Epps, the black former Secretary of Agriculture, gone. Huh? Ron Brown, Secretary of Commerce, they killed him. But before they killed him, they charged him with misconduct from his office of the Department of Commerce. Huh? Energy Secretary. Huh? Hazel O'Leary. Huh? And a couple of others. What happened during Reconstruction? White folks became angry. The white male. They're talking about an angry white male today. And so the white man's ego got involved. He blocked the entrance. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner down in Georgia. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner of the AME Church. Policemen lined up in front of the door of Congress and would not let Bishop Henry McNeil Turner go in. And he had been duly elected by the people. We were even governor. Pinchback became governor of Louisiana. But every position we held, the cracker rolled back the hands of the clock. In the twinkling of an eye, when he got ready, he said, no more of this foolishness. A nigger ain't to rule over me. A nigger is not to be a sheriff over me. Nigger sheriffs arrested white folks? Hell no, he said. Give me that badge, nigger, and get back in a nigger's place. Some of you who are undercover agents sitting in the audience, your job is temporary. And if you continue this, your life is temporary. Over a short period of time. Temporary over a short period of time. Temporary anyway, but we mean over a short period of time. You come in among black people and spy on black people. Negro judge on the slave theater with no more better judgment than that. See his brother persecuted by the criminal justice system that he's been a judge of. He obviously didn't read Bruce Wright. He obviously didn't see what Alton Maddox was doing for black people. And so a Negro boot-licking judge who owned the slave theater, now it sits there with rats and roaches running all over the damn place. But because white folks put pressure on a nigger judge, the nigger judge padlocked the door and told the white folks, I took care of it, boss. I took care of it for you, boss. Did I do a good job, boss? I put him out, boss. Is that a good nigger, boss? They say, well, nigger, we got something else for you to do. White man knows he can't trust you. If your own people can't trust you, the white man knows he can't trust you. So your job is a temporary job. You come and sit in this audience and go and report back to the white man. We see you, nigga. We see you. Your wig is crooked. Your Jerry curl got too much juice in it. We see you. And as this nation gains freedom and independence, and as more and more of this revolutionary spirit rises up in the minds and hearts of the people, we will kill you for coming to betray the legitimate aspirations of our people. Oh, yes, we will. It's the year of the bullet. Are the bullet. But some of you are not willing to pay the price. You want to come here for years and just listen to great speakers. Go home and listen to great tapes. But when it's time to move with the leadership
to buy your own land, to buy your own building, so that nobody can dictate whether a padlock is put on it ever again. Then you don't step forward. But you cheer louder than anybody in the damn audience. You eat more bean pie on the outside. You buy more bean pie than anybody. You got all the tapes at home. You got a library of tapes. Dr. Ben said. Dr. Clark said. Dr. Akbar said. Just a constipated Negro. Your brain is constipated. Your heart is backed up. Afraid to stand up. There are enemies among us, and we must find them and get rid of them. It's a shame that Eugene Roberts still lives walking around New York after he's responsible for the murder and the assassination of Malcolm X. But Eugene Roberts is doing interviews on television. He's a goddamn celebrity. Dr. Feld on the front row with Gene Roberts' picture, exposing him. He does interviews now. He's a celebrity. An undercover agent in the OAAU of Malcolm X, seen in the Audubon Auditorium, pretending to give him artificial resuscitation. I'm just telling you what the people are telling me on the streets, the real radical ones. They saying that he should be dead. That's what they're saying. I ain't got nothing to do with it. That's what they say. William O'Neill with the Panther Party, the agent responsible for the murder of Fred Hampton and Mark Clark, the agent that drew up the floor plans, told them where Fred Hampton's bed was, that what angle they had to shoot in order to kill him while he was asleep, still walking the streets today. Because you just want to hear speakers. You just want to wear your African tikis and sandals and dashikis and boobas and crowned and gowned to the ground. And you're red, you're black, and you're green. But when it comes time to stand up and strike a blow for freedom and independence, you ain't nowhere to be found. I got to say it. I got to say it. So during Reconstruction, white men got angry. And they moved on every black elected public official. And here we are, starting all over again. It says the 1965 Voting Rights Act, which resulted in a dramatic increase in the number of black elected officials at the federal, state, and local levels. That from 1965 to 1970, their number increased from 280 to 1,629. But as of 1993, the last year such figures were compiled, there were more than 8,000 black elected public officials. More than 8,000. But the condition of our people is terrible. More than 8,000 black elected public officials, and black people are still in the mud and the filth and the squalor of the white man's world. Poor, ragged, naked, hungry, and out of doors in the white man's world, and over 8,000 black elected public officials. Jesse Jackson now. OG Tom. Old Tom. Raising up a new Tom. Got Jesse Jackson Jr. now. Grooming him to be the new Tom. Put him in District 2 in Mel Reynolds' place. Instead of standing up for Mel Reynolds, fighting for Mel Reynolds. You say, well, he did wrong, so look what they did with white folks who did the same thing. Some white folks did worse. It's important to understand, brothers and sisters, what we're dealing with here. Donald Buzz
Luckians, an Ohio Republican, served 9 days of a 30-day jail term in 1991 for having sex with a 16-year-old black girl. He also was ordered to participate in a program for sex offenders. But the cracker said, he argued that he could not have contributed to the delinquency of this child because she already was unruly, he said, when he had sex with her. Now, this is a Republican from Ohio. 30 days in jail and put him in a program. Mel Reynolds, much more than that. Republican Daniel Crane admitted having a sexual affair with a congressional page. His punishment was by the House of Representatives. They just talk rough to him. Would the gentleman from Illinois refrain from this kind of conduct? It is not becoming of the high office of the gentleman from Illinois. That's all he got. He had sex at least 4 times with the page, according to a report by the special counsel to the House Ethics Committee. It started after he met the 17-year-old and gave her a 6-pack of beer and betted her on a basketball game. After he met her, he made a bet on a basketball game. And they had a 6-pack of beer. She lost. And he did what he wanted to do. Look at it now. The House Ethics Committee also voted to reprimand Representative Gary Studd for his sexual relationship with a male page. Boy, this boy was way out. Studds, a Massachusetts Democrat, remains in Congress today. The congressional report outlining charges against Studds said he took the page to his apartment in Washington's upper-class Georgetown neighborhood and plied the boy with vodka and cranberry juice until 4 a.m. I'm going to leave that alone. Later, the page went on a 2-week trip to Europe with Studs, who also made advances toward other male pages. Former Senator Brock Adams, a Democrat from Washington State, dropped his 1992 re-election bid after 9 women said he sexually harassed them. Representative Barney Frank, a Massachusetts Democrat.
Assalamu alaikum. Free the land, black laws for all black people. Brothers and sisters, I am very honored to have this opportunity to come and talk on the very important topic, the role and responsibility of the black student in preparing for the 21st century. First of all, let's give Brother Billy X, was that Brother Billy X? Yeah, Brother Billy X was there. Speaker before him. Let's give Brother Billy X a black hand. To the brothers and sisters who are the host here at Cal State Fullerton, and to you, my beloved and beautiful black brothers and sisters, as we explore this topic, the role and responsibility of the black student in preparing for the 21st century, I first of all want to say to you, on our way here, the serious accident on the expressway, on the defense highway, we got all tied up, bumper-to-bumper traffic, then we got off and tried some alternate routes, and they didn't work too well, but ultimately here. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad's minister and representative, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, sends you his greetings of love and unity and solidarity here at Cal State Fullerton. And I want you to understand that of all our studies, history is best qualified and most attractive to reward our research. If we know what happened yesterday, we can intelligently discuss today, because today is built on yesterday, and tomorrow is built on today. So if we know what happened yesterday and what went down yesterday, then we are not likely to let the same thing go down today. Dr. Carter G. Woodson, in his book, The Myth Education of the Negro. How many have read Dr. Carter G. Woodson's book, The Myth Education of the Negro? Let me see your black hand. Or otherwise. If you have read Dr. Carter G. Woodson's book, The Miseducation of the Negro, Dr. Carter G. Woodson talks about the fact that black people undergo what is called a miseducation. Black people are actually edumacated instead of educated. The institutions that black people learn from are, when it comes to black people, not institutions of higher learning, but institutions of lower learning. What do you mean, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, when you say that the black man and black woman is miseducated? What Dr. Carter G. Woodson means, and incidentally, Dr. Carter G. Woodson is considered the father of black history in America. He first started out with Black History Day. Then it was called Negro History Day. Then it was Negro History Week. Now it's Negro History Month, or Black History Month, which is a shame and a disgrace. White people have 365 and a quarter days to study their moment in time, when they only give us a day, a week, or a month to study our infinity in history. What do you mean, infinity in history? We mean that the black man and the black woman, that we are absolutely the father and mother of everybody on the face of the planet Earth. That is not to be disrespectful of any of the whites who are in the audience tonight, and I want to get that straight before we even get started. I have not come here to Cal State Fullerton to teach black people to hate white people. I repeat, I have not come all the way out here in bumper-to-bumper traffic and got lost 4 or 5 times to spend my time teaching black people to hate white people. I don't care whether you love or hate white people. That's not my objective. My objective is to get you tonight, the black student, as you prepare for the 21st century. My objective from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not to get you to hate white people, but to get you to love your black self. Get you to love your black self. You say, well, I already love myself. You don't love yourself because you don't even know yourself. You came in here Harry McGillicuddy, Jim Dandy O'Houlihan, George Washington Culpepper, George Washington Carver Doolittle, Hattie Mae Workman, Johnny Mae Hamburger with lettuce and tomatoes on top. All kind of crazy names. Yes, you did. Orangeburg and Mr. Greenleaf and Mr. Muddy Waters and Body Steel Waters and Overbrook and Oversneed. Black people named Snotgrass and Dangerfield. Where did you get these names from? You got these names from your former slave masters. This is history. This is not hatred. This is history. And if you as students are to prepare for your role and responsibility for the 21st century, you must know your black self. You must know who you are, and Cal State Fullerton is not going to teach you who you are. Cal State Fullerton cannot afford to teach you who you are. Because when you know who you are, then you know that everything at Cal State Fullerton is based on the knowledge and the wisdom and the foundational disciplines that your fathers and mothers, your ancestors, are the founders of all of the disciplines that the planet Earth is now based on. The liberal arts schools of America, the institutions of science and technology, no matter what institution of so-called higher learning, it is your ancestors who gave this world its foundational knowledge. What do I mean by this? I mean that you, black woman, and you, black man, that you come from, you are the progeny, you are the descendants of the father and mother of science, the mother and father of art and music, the father of law and mathematics and government, and the father of civilization itself, that you are the descendant of that people. If it were not for the black man and black woman of Africa, then these disciplines would not exist today. It was your forefathers who studied the stars and studied the heavenly bodies and then determined how to classify them and call that science astronomy. It was your ancestors who could stand in the black deep jungles of Africa who had never seen New York City, who had never seen San Diego or Fullerton or Los Angeles or Berkeley or Oakland or San Francisco. They had never been to any of those places. But they could stand there in the backwoods, in the back jungles of Africa, and they knew about a star that passed once every 25,000 years. They knew of another star. They could stand there and they'd say, this star, this occurrence that's happening in the universe now has not been seen. Brother, would you step back in the aisles? I want to see everybody and everybody see me. Sister also. This occurrence in the universe has not taken place since 50,000 years ago. They could study the soil. They could scoop up the soil in their hands, and they already had the science in their minds and in their hearts of agriculture and land agronomy. They knew about how to classify the plants and the animals, your ancestors and my ancestors. I know the white man tells you that the father of medicine is Hippocrates, but white folks do lie. And I know that the doctors take what is called the Hippocratic Oath, which is really a hypocritical oath, because it was not Hippocrates who is the father of medicine. We were performing delicate operations in Africa on eye cataracts. We were performing open heart surgery. We were performing surgery on the brain. We understood the inner workings of this magnificent body that is created by Almighty God. We understood the biology. We understood the physiology. We understood anatomy. We understood that basic force that moves in us that is called soul by some. It is called rhythm by others. But it is rooted in something that has to do with the melanin content, the high concentration of melanin that exists in the black man and the black woman. We knew about the pineal gland. And every one of our pharaohs or our kings and our queens, they wore their symbol, be they the ruler of Upper Egypt or Lower Egypt, they wore their symbol over the pineal gland. We understood the relationship of the pineal gland to the existence of the black man and woman on the face of the planet Earth and our being tuned in to the divine, universal, and cosmic order of things. Oh, that's that black man and that black woman. Dr. L.S.B. Leakey went out looking for the origin of man. Margaret Mead and Richard Leakey, and they all let it leak out that the original man is not from Europe. The original woman is not from Europe. It was Newsweek magazine not too long ago that came out with a special edition on Adam and Eve, and it showed a black Adam and a black Eve with a Jerry curl on the cover of Newsweek magazine. And they went on to say that this Eve that they have been talking about, that Eve is a black woman. You are the mother and father of it all. It all comes from you. I know the white man told you that when he found us in Africa, we were swinging through the trees, eating bananas, and eating each other and hollering ooga booga. I know what he told you, but that's a big lie. He told us that he did us a favor by bringing us to America. Why, I? Gee whiz, I civilized you guys. I mean, you should love me the rest of your lives. I brought you here, and I took the bones out of you guys' noses, and I civilized you guys and taught you how to worship my God. You always believed in one God. Don't let the white man tell you you were a savage in Africa and that you didn't believe in God Almighty. I'm talking about the creator of the universe. I'm talking about the prime moving power and force behind the cosmos. You always believed in the one God. You can just keep your attention up here. They're going to take care of their business. Huh? I mean, and if anything get out of line, they're doctors and they sure know how to operate. You always believed in one God. Long before the white man came, you believed in one God. But you always believed in the one God. No matter where the white man found you, you believed in a God everywhere he found you. But it was the white man that you had to teach about a God. As he crawled around on his all fours in the caves and hills of Europe, a savage with hair all over his back like a monkey or a dog in the caves and hills of Europe, he was eating his own dead alive and eating juniper roots, and he didn't bury his dead. He would leave his dead right there in the cave with the stench coming up from the decomposing body. He did his number one in the cave, and he did his number two in the cave, too. And when he got through doing his number one and his number two, he slept in his number one and his number two for 2,000 years in the caves and hills of Europe. I'm not lying to you. He ate his meat raw. He would go out and knock an animal in the head with a boulder or a club and drag the old nasty animal back to the cave. You saw Quest for Fire? How many saw Quest for Fire? They didn't have a spoken language. All they could say was, ooh, 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 ooh. But this lying white man made you believe that that's the way you were in Africa. But he was the one who didn't have a written language. He was the one who was a savage who crawled around on his all fours in the caves and hills of Europe. They dragged the old nasty, bloody, dead animal, diseased animal into the cave and bite into the animal with blood running all out of it, and all of them would jump on the animal and start biting on it, getting the hair and fur and everything all in their mouth. That's that old no-good lying white man. I don't care whether you like it. I didn't come here to conduct a Dale Carnegie course. I didn't come here to win friends and influence people. I came here to tell you the truth, whether you like that truth or not, and then give you an opportunity during the question and answer period to question me on what I teach from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And if you're not heavy enough to do it, then you go get Dr. Scusarussel. You go get Dr. Skowaskowasko. You go get Dr. Goldberg and Dr. Goldstein, and you bring Dr. Scusel's butt in here and sit him on the front row. You bring the professors here from who are the heads of the departments and sit them anywhere, and we'll go beyond the talk and debate any of these subjects that I'm talking about. It's because the white man does not have the root knowledge. He only has branch knowledge. He only has just a little bit that will take him just a little way. But now it's your time to rise up and accept your role and responsibility as you prepare for the 21st century. This is your day. This is your hour, and this is your time. But whoever prescribes the diameter of your learning controls the circumference of your activity. I'll run that by you again. Whoever prescribes and controls the diameter of your learning experience controls the circumference of the sphere of your activity. In other words, if they teach you, then they know how far you're going to go. You can't go but so far because of the range of what you've been taught. You just like a silly black cat that went off to white dog school. At white dog school, the silly little cat didn't learn anything about being a cat. When it was time to roll over and play dead, this little black cat at white dog school could roll over and play dead better than any dog in the class. Got an A in the class on rolling over and playing dead. Why, this little black cat that was at white dog school, when it came time to sit up and hassle and wag its tail, this little silly black cat at white dog school could hassle and wag its tail better than any white dog in dog school. When it came time to go and fetch the master's slippers, this little silly black cat at white dog school could go and get the master's slippers better than any dog in the class. And when it came time to eat, all the cats over at black cat school, they were eating catnip, drinking milk, and eating puss in boots. But not this little black cat at white dog school. This little black cat at white dog school wanted to eat what the honor roll students at white dog school, Ren 10-10, Bullet and Lassie, wanted to eat what they were eating. Wanted Top Kick and Beagle and Gaines Pride and Purina Dog Chow. Look, made an A in everything. When the Bow Wow class came around, the English class, why, this little silly black cat could bow wow better than any dog in the class. In fact, if another cat, black cat, would ease up to this silly black cat and try to pull its coat and say, look, it's all about meow, this silly black cat would say, no, I don't want to hear that meow talk. All I want to know about is the bow wow. Get away from me with that meow talk. Every time I see you, you talking some black cat talk. I don't want to hear no black cat talk. I want to know about the white dog talk. I want to bow wow. And you know some of us are like that today. You'll fix your big, thick, beautiful African lips all to the side, and you got just as proper as you can get. White folks look at you and wonder what in the hell is wrong with you. They just got through here and you talking ebonically. You used to have the great linguist here on this campus, Dr. Ernie Smith, who talked to us and taught us about ebonics. How many know Dr. Ernie Smith? He's one of the great scholars among our people. He talked to us about ebonics because we speak two languages. We speak English, and then there's an African intrusion on that English. Where's Chris? Chris gone. Where's Michael? Michael gone. He been gone. They been gone. That's ebonics. We don't deal with the verb, and we move right on with it. And white folks can just hear you get through talking to each other that way, and then see them coming, and you start bow-wowing instead of meowing. You start, oh, gee whiz, golly, good to see you, Bob. How are you, Bill? With them big African lips all to the soul, like, gee, far out guy, way out, man. Come here, here's Bill. And they look at you and say, what is the matter with this nigga? Why does this nigga talk like this? Why doesn't he want to be himself? Why doesn't she want to be herself? Why is he or she trying to be like me? Why are they trying to talk like me? So when they made the black cat makes all A's in white dog school. But then when it's time to graduate, graduation and the final examination is chasing cats. Here this little black cat has made straight A's in white dog school, and now the only way to graduate is you got to chase black cats that look just like its black cat self. And when the cats would be safe, having outrun the dogs, and safe on a limb up a tree, this silly black cat would climb the tree and go out on a limb for the white dogs and push the black cat off the limb down on the ground where the dogs were. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Holler if you hear me. Yeah. Here we go. Genetic survival on the planet. It just popped into my brain computer. Oh, now I understand lynching and castration. Lynching of a black man would occur usually behind saying he looked at a white woman. Is that right? Or he thought he wanted to look. Or he was thinking about somebody else looking. This, if the problem is about genetics, maybe some people can't see the blackboard. I put a diagram. Of male genitalia. If white people are afraid, the global white collective is afraid of genetic annihilation, they are automatically talking about male genitalia. Because these are the testicles, and this is where the genetic material is. Now, I hear some ladies saying, well, why didn't she put the female genitalia on the board? Maybe she doesn't know how to draw it. The reason that I didn't put the female genitalia on, because everybody has to master this. This is a very important part of the understanding. Men and women are equal human beings, but we are not the same. The Creator decided that we should not be the same. Males can impose sexual intercourse. If you look around and see all these beautiful different colors, it was because white slave masters imposed themselves on African women. Males can impose themselves. White, black, brown, red, or yellow. God forbid that they should ever think of doing that, but nonetheless, that is factual. Women cannot impose sexual intercourse. Or can they? This is a lesson in physiology class. Try it. See, I didn't say cannot entice, influence. I said impose, meaning make the gentleman have sexual intercourse. Even if he says he has to go home. No, you run to your purse and pull out your Uzi. And you say, I'm going to make you. What will happen, gentlemen? That's correct. See, that's basic physiology. If you frighten the gentleman, really frighten him. So racism is about oppressing all people of color. But it is more particularly about black people. And it is even more particularly about black gentlemen. Because the lady cannot force the white male into sexual genetic annihilation. But the fear in the mind of the global white collective is that the black gentleman can cause white genetic annihilation. So when that white male brain computer looks at the black male, his subconscious is dictating he has weapon, can annihilate me. Must attack it. Cut it off. Do you all understand? So nobody ever has to say, well, I don't understand that. And we more recently had the case of Jeffrey Dahmer's. He was cutting black men up. And he couldn't get enough just cutting them up. He had to eat them, including their genitalia. In addition to working in a chocolate factory. Are those the facts in the case? Those are the facts in the case. Are you all with me? See, we are coming up on, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, Valentine's Day, in the white supremacy system and culture. See, that's what we must learn to say. We are coming upon Black History Month in the white supremacy system and culture, so therefore we understand why we only look at ourselves for 1 month. Do you follow what I'm saying? And we look at white 11 months. But we are coming upon the day that is about love, supposedly. What is the favorite gift? Chocolate candy with nuts, hopefully. And because we don't understand the symbolism as black ladies, we say, well, we want some chocolate too, not realizing that we've got chocolate at home. See, indeed, if you understand what I'm saying, you will also understand why in the white supremacy system and culture, all of the favorite drinks are dark brown. Coffee, tea, Coke, Coca-Cola, Pepsi. And the white lady on TV says, I can't get started in the morning. Until she's talking to the white man, her husband. This thing. I can't get started in the morning until I have some Folgers in my cup. It's so dark and rich. Is that the ad? Do you all follow me? So let's go back. I thought I had an eraser. Oh, here it is. Because I'm giving this with a little humor, but all of this is serious. All of this is very, very serious because we're talking about what exactly is the nature of the war that is being waged against us that we haven't understood clearly to date. But we are moving on understanding. if we understand the importance of the male genitalia, black male genitalia, as being viewed as that which can cause white genetic annihilation, we will understand the importance of the gun, police officers. If we look at the front view of male genitalia, it looks like this. The lateral view looks like this. Just think about the lateral view for people who are far away. If you turn that around 90 degrees, what do you have? A gun. A gun. Guns are the most important thing in the white supremacy system and culture. Because the white brain computer says, he has weapon, can annihilate me. Must create weapon, can do same thing. In other words, the white genetic material is recessive. It cannot cause black genetic annihilation. But the white brain computer came up with gun. Can make gun. And what do they call the gun? The great equalizer. See, these terms are not idle expressions. We treat them as idle expressions. But they come from the subconscious because the problem, the fear of white genetic annihilation is not talked about overtly. In other words, you don't hear big discussions on TV, we're genetic recessive and we're afraid of white genetic annihilation. You don't hear that being discussed. You just hear everybody needs a gun. 200 million guns in the hands of people in this era of the world, and they're not just in the hands or mostly in the hands of people who are classified as black or otherwise non-white. So the great equalizer, and from that awareness comes the term justifiable homicide. Justifiable homicide, somebody might say, well, the definition of that is when you have to shoot somebody. The term comes from people who are in uniform in the white supremacy system and culture who classify themselves as white, who see a black man and say, I thought he had a weapon. He does. That's where that statement comes from at the subconscious level. I thought he had a weapon. And then they will say, I thought he had a knife. Or I thought he had a gun, but it comes from the deeper subconscious fear of genetic annihilation. There is no history, as far as I know, of black males in uniform killing white men and saying, I thought he had a weapon. Now, maybe that's because they see better. I don't think so. It's just that the same fear is not in the minds of black gentlemen. It is a fear that is resident in this particular power system and structure. This fear is also manifested in another major activity within the white supremacy system and culture, one of the most important activities, if you go by the numbers. What am I talking about? A major activity I don't want to spoil anybody's fun. But ball games. Now, I didn't ask Dr. Charles Murray this, but I could have. Dr. Murray, since you say you're so smart, what are the two series of ball games in the white supremacy system and culture that have come out of the white brain computer? Because the black people didn't create these ball games. We play them with expertise, but we didn't create them. Why did it come out of the white brain computer, these two series of ball games? What are the two series, class? If you read my book, don't answer. No. See, you're looking at it all the time. You're looking at it all the time, but because we were lied to when we were little children and told it was a democracy, and we read Dick and Jane and Spot and Puff and Baby Sally, we were not told what was really the shape and the dynamic of the culture. So we actually are looking at what I'm getting ready to tell you, but we don't see it. But once I decoded what white supremacy was all about, and one Sunday I was in my house and it was so quiet, and your brain functions best when it's real quiet. That's why they train us now. This is your soul say, boom, de boom, de boom, de boom, de boom. See, that cuts the computer off. It actually does. It cuts the computer off. It just drowns it out with too much stimulation. They know that. But I said, it's so quiet. I wonder what's happening. Why is it so quiet? See, what's happening? And then I said, oh, the ball games. The ball games are on. And then it just clicked into my computer. These ball games have more significance than we realize. And then it just clicked into my brain computer. It's two series of ball games, Francis. Big Brown and Small White. And what balls are we talking about, really? These balls. Isn't that something? And what does the culture say? Keep your eye on the ball. See, we thought that meant as the baseball comes towards the bat, you keep watching it. No, it means these balls. You have to keep your eyes on these balls in order to prevent white genetic annihilation. Is that right, class? So every season has to focus on balls. Is that right? What are the ball games that are played by the men that are considered to be most virile, most manly? Big Brown. Is that right? Football. And then basketball. And then we have bowling ball. And we'll put soccer over here, too. And then over here, we'll put ping pong. Right? Golf. Tennis. Baseball, right? Now, see, I hear some people saying, this lady is really out of her cotton picking mind. But I think I do know what I'm talking about. Now let's see where these ball games go, where these balls go. A white gentleman told me, Dr. Welsing, do you realize that white men say they are not men until they have had sexual intercourse with a black lady. Gentlemen, see what prizes you have? So what games are played by the most powerful men? What's the ball game that is played by the most powerful men? The president, Gaul, a small white. But let's see where the small white ball goes. Long stick held between legs. Microphone is really helping too, right? Then pup. Trying to make a hole in one. In the old days, a black man used to stand behind a white man. Is that right? Caddy. Say, boss, I think you want this one. Has anybody ever seen a white golf club? I don't think so. But where does the ball go? In a hole in black Mother Earth. Let's see where the other balls go. Where do the big brown balls go? The football goes where? Some white upright legs at the end of the field. I don't want to spoil your game. But this is war. We have to understand. We have to understand. I'm just showing you the subconscious symbolism that makes the point. I didn't make these games up. But once you pull back the curtain of decoding what the culture is really all about, you, this stuff just jumps up and you say, oh, I see. Oh, wow, look at that. So the big brown football, because the white female has said her ideal mate is who? Tall, dark, and handsome. So therefore, where does the basketball go? The white net. Slam dunking it in. Don't faint, you all. Come on. And who do we have dancing in short dresses on the side? Little white ladies. Is that right? A black girl can hardly get on the squad. Isn't that right? Do you all see how these little symbols fit together? If you're real mature, oh, Jesus, I'll tell you about baseball. Are you all real mature? But before we do baseball, let's do billiards. Or we can do bowling. You see, this big black ball goes down the track and knocks this out, knocks these 10 pins out. See, white supremacy is not something, oh, I ran into some discrimination on my job. No, you are surrounded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year living and breathing and eating and drinking white supremacy nonstop. It's not a little bit of something, it's the whole show. Billards. Big green table. A lot of colored balls on the table. Long stick again. Stick and ball. Long stick takes white ball. White ball. Knocks all the colored balls under the table. Is that right? Who's the last ball to be knocked in? Meaning most important ball of all, right? All us black people know what the black ball is, right? And the culture says what? You don't want to be caught where? Behind the eight ball. Being caught behind the eight ball, the white supremacy, I need to put this eraser over here. The white supremacy power equation is white over non-white. To be caught behind the eight ball would mean what? Non-white over white equals white genetic, there goes a person, annihilation. Do you all follow? See, when something is being done at the subconscious level, it means you don't have to think about it. And so everything that is done is keeping people, the minority, in touch with what the critical issue on the planet is. They are all clued in. We are not clued in. So now we are getting clued in. Shall I do baseball? See, the elements, the brain computer, when it makes a symbol, it'll take things and contract them so the brain understands, but the elements of baseball, long stick, white ball, triangle. What is triangle? Female. Genital. Are you with me, class? What do people eat at baseball games? They eat some peanuts and hot dog in bun. See, I'm not trying to shock you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or be gross. But I want you to appreciate the level of what we are dealing with. And so when mustard, what does the white supremacy culture refer to as buns? Are you with me? You see, and homosexuality is a practice when men start feeling insecure about masculinity. It was the dominant sexual practice in Greece and Rome. And I maintain because they looked across that Mediterranean at all those black men. And by comparison, they felt deficient. And so that meant penis into anus. The anus is the opposite end of the gastrointestinal tract. We feed ourselves by putting food in the gastrointestinal tract. How many people hear their brain computer, I think I need some greens? Raise your hand. See, this is the brain saying you need some vitamin A. In the same way, it will create, put penis in rectum if I feel masculine deficient. Somebody said, oh my goodness. Are you all following me? Do you know that within the framework of the discussion of the bell curve and all the people, so-called scientists, who are saying black people are deficient in terms of intelligence as far as genetics goes, do you realize that one of these esteemed scientists has said, we will have to conclude that the smaller the penis, the higher the intelligence. Do you all understand? Isn't that heavy? To me, that's profound, that they spend time. But I was at Howard University College of Medicine, and there was a white scientist in the Department of Anatomy, who I will not name on this occasion, and he was doing a study measuring the length of black men's penises at, we're a better place than at a black university. Are you all with me? Well, I know Dr. Welsing doesn't really understand what she's talking about, but maybe let's look at smoking objects. What are the two series of smoking objects in the white supremacy system and culture? Here we go again, big brown and small white. Ooh. What, aside from cigarettes, what are cigarettes called in the white supremacy system and culture? You read my book. Cigarettes are called fags. Look in your dictionary. Meaning small white is equated with what? Female and effeminacy. What smoking objects do the most powerful men smoke? Cigars. And I encourage everybody in this room to go to your newsstand where they had a big expensive magazines and look for the magazine, big expensive magazine called Cigars, and it has all these long cigars and how they taste. And, you know, their characteristics and how much they cost. The most expensive smoking objects, are they small white or are they big and brown? Big and brown. I didn't make the culture. I have tried to look at it and decode it so we understand what we are dealing with. The white supremacy system and culture wants us to be the clowns of the planet. If you don't believe it, just look at Martin. And this is why this discussion has great importance. Because the white supremacy system and culture says, if I can just turn him into a woman, I'll be home free with white genetic survival. Are they succeeding? Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. This is no affront to anybody because we had not decoded what we were dealing with. When I was in undergrad, I used to think, well, it's all about economics. Mm-mm. Neely Fuller Jr. came along and said, white supremacy is a system. And the system operates in economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. This is everything we do. The system is carrying out in terms of perception, logic, thought, speech, action, symbols, and emotional response. All, everything is geared to white genetic survival. It's a trick to say it's all about green power. No, you need money to purchase the things that you need and that you want. But it's all a part of the system of white supremacy, what you get, and whether you can keep what you get. So if we begin to understand, oh, it's about white genetic survival, and all you have to think about, well, what are the various routes? What are the various pathways? Like all roads lead to Rome. All the pathways lead to white supremacy as long as it's unopposed. Everything. Well, let's see how we can stop.
Thank you.
Stop the black male from being able to affect white genetic annihilation. Let's see what we can do. How do we affect all black people, male and female, not understanding what it's all about? So somebody might say, well, Dr. Welsing, every time you turn on the TV now, you see black men sitting up next to their white wives. Isn't that right? Psych. You have to look at that because I say, oh, somebody's saying it's racism and that it's about white genetic annihilation. So we'll show a whole lot of our white women with black men, and we'll show black men who have 15 black women, white women apiece. That'll convince them it's not about white genetic annihilation. But the very moment they're showing that, thousands of black men are dying in the streets. Those few little things that they show you on TV, or pushing the effeminization of black men through the sitcoms, and making black people laugh at it because they don't understand what's going on. And they laugh at it, and they have their children laugh at it, because they don't understand the whole game is about white genetic survival. Preventing white genetic annihilation, every single thing that they do. A white professor, female at the American University in the District of Columbia, said to me one time, Dr. Welsing, white people talk negatively about black people at all social gatherings. Not some social gatherings, all social gatherings. She said the common assumption is that every white person present agrees. Before she told me this, I said, yes, I know. And that's why when white people say, well, Dr. Welsing, what can I do? I say, tell black people what white people talk about when there's no black people around. I gave a talk last night, and a young black lady said, well, you hate white people. You must hate white people. The Bible says we should love our enemies. Psych. See, it's not about hate. I'm not talking tonight about hate. I'm talking about decoding the game that's on the white side of the chessboard. I'm talking about understanding why we have lost the last 1,000 tournaments. Because we were not told what the real game on the table was really all about. I say that the IQ that black people should be interested in is the WS in parentheses R IQ. That's the white supremacy racism IQ. How much do we understand about what white supremacy is and exactly how it works? Because it is deadly. We can call it the deadly science. The deadly science. So what else is white supremacy doing other than trying to make absolutely certain that there is mass level of feminization of black men, because if they are effeminized, then the system doesn't have to worry about white genetic annihilation. A child in my office.